Thanksgiving is a holiday dedicated in large part to food, but how often do we think about where our food comes from? On this Turkey Day, we're focusing on community gardens. Our next guest says these gardens aren't just about the end result, the food, but rather the cultural connections people have with cultivating the land and growing crops. And she says it's important to look to the past and understand the often troubled relationship between race and agriculture. Our guest is Venus Williams. She's the director of Alice's Garden. She wrote a piece for Edible Milwaukee called Preserving the Culture in Urban Agriculture. We've got a link to that on the Central Time Facebook page. Venus, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Well, let's start with what you think a community garden should be, the potential. What are some of the functions they should be fulfilling outside of the food itself?
Community gardens have an opportunity to bring people together whose paths may never cross in an urban area. So the growing of food, I always say, is the carrot, pun intended, to get people to come into a garden to explore who their neighbors are, to explore what kind of food and food traditions others in the community and in the city have, and to really address multiple issues related to health and food and culture.
And you say in your piece that a community garden, an urban garden in a place like Milwaukee shouldn't, again, just be about the food. It should look at the history of the people's relationships to food and in some cases the tales of struggle and injustice related to growing food. Can you talk about what you're looking for there?
Sure. As an African American, my relationship to food is very different than a European American. My relationship in this country to food and land is one that is burdened with historical trauma. It's burdened with stories of slavery and sharecropping, so that many people, when they arrive in urban areas, I have heard it often said, I will never grow anything again, because they still have memories of growing up in the South, memories of working land that maybe did not belong to their parents or their grandparents, working land where there still were so many injustices happening on that piece of land. And so part of my task is to help people unpack that baggage related to food and to reclaim the growing of food in a healthy, healing way.
Well, that's really interesting. Coming from that perspective, why the heck would you garden? That's something that people were escaping from, this agricultural work that was seen as that was oppressive in the past.
Right. Well, if you have control over what you eat, you have control over who you are. Many of our issues related to health and wellness are all about what we consume. And so by not growing your own food, you're handing over power to others, no matter who you are, no matter what your historical relationship is with land and food. So my opinion is everyone needs to be growing something that they eat, because everyone has to eat. So when you couple it with the historical connections with land and food, whether you're speaking of it from the African-American perspective, whether you're talking about it from a Hmong refugee perspective, we all need to heal our relationship with land and food.
Well, let's talk about how this works on the ground and tell us how you do these things and confront these issues at Alice's Garden.
One of my favorite Alice's Garden stories is related to when we reconfigured the space, and there were people who had been gardening for a decade, and they were gardening in monolithic communities. So the Hmong farmers were all gardening together, and the few African American gardeners who were there at that time at Alice's Garden were gardening together. When I mixed them up and put them next to one another, it was a challenge, because people, no matter who you are always used to things being the way that they are. Folks don't want to change. But what has happened because of placing people who were not growing food next to one another, to folks from different parts of the country, different parts of the world, the exchange of ideologies, the exchange of agrarian traditions, the exchange of gardening know-how really came to life, and people really started getting to know not just the food that other folks were growing, but why they grew them and who these people are. In Milwaukee, we have had many bridges to cross related especially to Hmong farmers and the African American community. And one of the things that we're very intentional about at Alice's Garden is building that bridge of understanding between the Hmong and the African American community.
You must hear some great conversations. What do you hear in that back and forth between, say, the Hmong gardeners there and the African American gardeners?
The conversations that happen very often, especially when new gardeners come in, is the different vegetables that the Hmong farmers grow that many of us are not familiar with. And when you ask one of the Hmong farmers what that is, they may not have a name for it. So they compare something that looks like a cucumber, a traditional cucumber that we're familiar with, but it's not a traditional cucumber. And so we also get into cooking, and we get into community gatherings that really explore the culinary traditions, not just the different traditions in growing food. We talk about companion planting. So when I hear stories of gardening traditions with the families, eventually it leads to stories about the children and family. And obviously, we all realize that we have way more in common than we don't have in common. So it's a beautiful place to be grounded, not just in farming and food, but also in understanding who really occupies and lives in the city of Milwaukee.
When people start talking about these food traditions, do you get a sense of pride that maybe they didn't know was there as they realize their food heritage?
Without a doubt. I think more importantly, what happens is people see one another fully as the human beings that we are. And so whether we're talking about the Burmese refugees who are some of the new members of the Milwaukee community, or some of our sisters and brothers who have come in from different parts of Africa, when people really start to interweave their lives through food and through the growing of food, community is built in a powerful way that you cannot turn back from that. I will often hear people say that when they come to Alice's Garden, it's like walking into a piece of Eden. And if the Milwaukee community outside of the fence could represent what is felt inside the fence of Alice's Garden, this city and most cities would be a wonderful place to be.
Well, let's talk about that. Are you trying to plant the seed of this idea elsewhere in Milwaukee and beyond?
It is wonderful that the urban agriculture community in Milwaukee is very well connected, and there are so many of us who are on the ground, no pun intended, doing this work, building gardens, helping to build community. What I like to really push and stress with my colleagues is it has to be about more than planting physical seeds and planting plants. It really has to be about planting programs and impacting the quality of life for the residents if it's just on that block or in that four-block radius. So community gardens present an opportunity for us to really go deeply into the lives of the community, and we just use food as that entree into their lives.
How about younger people? Do a lot of youth participate in this, and what do you think they're getting out of it?
Without a doubt, I can speak for Alice's Garden and say this summer we engaged more than 30 young people on a daily basis in the growing of food, representing 4-5 different organizations in the city of Milwaukee. And so young people tend to be more open and not as set in their ways when it comes to being introduced to something new and different. So we have programs such as the Healthy Corner Store Initiative that my husband actually runs in the garden that hires young people from the community, and they grow food for local corner stores. We have organizations such as New Life and Urban Underground and Running Rebels who all are part of Alice's Garden, reintroducing young people to some of the traditions that their ancestors had and must be joyous that we are reclaiming.
And are they joyous? Do they, apart from the food itself, do they hear the stories that, the other gardeners are telling and get a sense of who they are, where they came from, what is still there to overcome?
It is an intentional part of what we do. Our Earn and Learn program is called Garden Mosaics, and Garden Mosaics is a curriculum that was developed out of Cornell University that is all about people, plants, and culture. And so in that particular program, it involves the interviewing of the elders. There's a whole curriculum that's built around getting to know the food traditions of everyone who is present in the garden. So we are very intentional about the intergenerational and multi-generational learning that happens at Alice's Garden.
Venus, what in your life made you take on this and make it such a big part of your life?
There are so many different ways to answer that question, and we have like a minute left. I will say that the first garden that I can recall is that of my Choctaw great-grandmother and my African great-grandfather, Nellie and Henry Hoots. I remember that garden because I was scolded always for running through the corn.
Uh-oh.
But I also remember that kitchen and all the food that was taken from that garden into that kitchen. My grandmothers both have had gardens that I helped be a part of. And my mother still has her garden. And so urban gardening, although we like to think of it as something new, it really isn't anything new. It is something that some of us really grew up with. But had you told me back then that I would become an urban farmer, I would have laughed at you. So the seed was planted a long, long time ago.
Venus, thanks for being with us. That was Venus Williams, director of Alice's Garden in Milwaukee, author of a piece for Edible Milwaukee called Preserving the Culture in Urban Agriculture. Coming up, Thanksgiving kicks off, well, the holiday shopping season, but it's also the traditional kickoff for the seasonal giving time. A lot of people making their donations, year-end donations, in fact. Our next guest has lots of advice. She's a philanthropy expert. She'll tell us how we can combine our shopping and our giving and how to give to help with hunger, not just around the holidays, but around the year. Stick around. We've got that and more coming up on this Thanksgiving edition of Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Veronica Rickert's off today. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.